In the year 1991, U.S. Flight 1313 soared unknowing unto its death. As the vessel sank into the ocean's depths, three boys washed ashore on Skull Face Island. Near death, pursued by vicious creatures, the boys stumbled upon shelter. Who built it and for what purpose, none could say. But, to their shock and amazement, a 55-inch TV glowed within, streaming every movie ever made.
I'd stick my neck out for nobody.
What the hell is this?
You're an inhuman monster!
I said good day!
After 20 years struggling for survival, they managed to repair the shelter's communication device. Perhaps someday, they'll be rescued. But until then, they'll watch and discuss movies, hoping, praying you're listening.
Hello there. This is Adam Fraser, and you are listening to Skull Face Island, the official movie podcast of geeksofdoom.com. As always, I'm joined by the lapdog of Dame Judi Dench, David Allen.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
And the lovable but dangerous producer, Tim Grant.
That's right.
How are you dangerous?
In many, many ways. We won't go into them now, but believe me. Just trust me.
The vaguer,
I trust.
The vaguer, the more dangerous.
Yes. Today on the show, guys, is it any coincidence that our 13th transmission comes on a week where we review one of the year's creepiest films, Sinister?
I'd say it's actually a coincidence.
Fair enough. I just thought it was festive. I thought 13.
I mean, whoa.
What if we were reviewing 13 Ghosts? Now that.
Oh, that's a terrifying prospect.
For many reasons. But before we get to that, I guess we should get on to news. Has anyone seen Martin? I haven't.
Actually, guys, Martin is gone.
What?
Yeah. He's away.
He's specifically programmed not to leave the island unless...
He didn't even ask, really. He came to me. He said, in a broken voice, his mother was dying, and he had to go to her side.
What?
And he also said that he felt the call to work as a humanitarian robot.
What?
What?
I was about to point out the contradiction there, the irony of that statement. And then, poof, rocket boosters went on, and he was gone.
Shit, he only uses the rocket boosters when things get real. Well, what the hell? So what you're telling me here is Martin has abandoned his post for absolutely frivolous reasons. His robot mom is on her deathbed? What? Does this mean what I think it means, that we have to read our own goddamn headlines?
Oh, man.
I think so.
Fine. I will, just this once, I will break the glass on the backup, for emergency use only, mind you, Geek-O-Matic Telefax. Guys, the Telefax spit out a bunch of crazy stuff. Yeah. I don't even know if it's working right. Something about Sylvester Stallone in a boxing movie with Robert De Niro. I'm not even going to read half of this stuff, all right?
What? That sounds insane.
That can't be right. Did you calibrate this?
Stallone is 67 years old.
Yeah.
Are these...
And Robert De Niro is dead.
Oh. He is. They just put a stick up his ass and shake it.
He died during Cape Fear. A lot of people won't know that.
Yeah. He was method.
There's something here about Clark Gregg returning as Agent Coulson in Marvel's S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, but he died in Avengers, right? So that can't be right either.
What if the show takes place in the past?
That is interesting.
And this is weird that we have Marvel news. We never get Marvel
news. Yeah, you're right. This is so bizarre. Why would we have superhero news? It's weird. Okay, well, here's a couple headlines that I would like to talk about because they actually tie in with our discussion last week, Tim, about remakes. Pet Sematary and It remake writer Dave Kajganich.
Sure.
Sounds good. Yeah. I'm just going to call him Davey K. Davey K to pen Creature from the Black Lagoon remake.
Oh, goodness.
Now, Davey K, his previous credits include the 2007 pseudo Invasion of the Body Snatchers remake, The Invasion, which is bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
And it's real bad. And 2009's Blood Creek, which I haven't seen, but I've seen the picture on our streaming supercomputer, and it's like maybe a Nazi with a fucking swastika branded in his head. So I don't
just know. Some throwaway horror movie.
In any case, he's going to be brought on to do this remake of Creature from the Black Lagoon, which it's kind of been floating around for a few years, literally, lagoon, boo, monsters.
Gay.
But they're starting over again, and I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. If they go the CG route, if they try to make this movie in the present day like motherfucking Godzilla, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
Disaster. But if they give it the, what I can only deem the Peter Jackson treatment and do it up like King Kong, keep it in the time frame, bring in some amazing practical effects, get fucking Guillermo del Toro's boys on it, who did Abe Sapien. It has potential, but I don't think that movie can really exist in present day. But we'll see.
Well, I mean, look at The Fly.
Yeah.
Both versions are great.
Yeah.
One is
for
clearly,
completely different reasons.
Yeah, exactly. One is really sort of standard creature feature of that time, and the other one is this really fantastic biological horror film.
It's the only monster from the original Universal horror lineup that hasn't been touched.
Yeah, that hasn't really been redone.
So with the recent news that Universal is revisiting The Mummy, we mentioned last week about Guillermo del Toro doing Frankenstein.
Right,
this really isn't much of a surprise.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So our next headline kind of goes hand in hand with this, or hand in chainsaw hand.
Oh.
I'm filled with them today, guys.
Right.
Damn.
Details are finally emerging about Fede Alvarez's Evil Dead remake, which they recently screened some footage from at New York Comic Con, had a big presentation about it.
Indeed they did.
And this movie, I think a lot of people are taking offense to Evil Dead being remade, but what you have to keep in mind here is that Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi are producing this. They're fully in charge of their own baby, essentially.
Yeah.
And they handpicked Alvarez, who's done some... he did a great short that you can watch on YouTube called Panic Attack. And the script is written by Alvarez and Diablo Cody.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is extremely interesting.
Good pick.
I personally really enjoy Jennifer's Body. I think it's hilarious.
I thought it was way better than everybody said, too.
A lot of people took it seriously and thought that it was supposed to be, you know, straightforward horror movie. It was very subversive.
Really clever deconstruction of, like, the sort of 80s high school supernatural horror.
So I'm excited for this. I actually saw the footage bootleg style through the old communications array.
Yeah.
And it looks absolutely disgusting.
So gross.
And hard R and so awesome. No holds barred. The raping tree is back. Tim, I know you love that.
Thank God.
Yeah, man, and this one looks, like, actually intense. Like,
this looks terrifying.
Like, this looks really, really terrifying.
There's a girl covered in boils who, possessed by the demons, obviously, takes out an electric carving knife that we would use very much on Thanksgiving to shave the roast pterodactyl, and she starts sawing off the boils on her arm.
It is horrendous.
Meanwhile, another girl takes a knife and slowly drags it down the middle of her tongue and splits her tongue like a snake's right into the camera. That's what I fucking want. Out of life, out of cinema. Well, we got news out of the way. So what's next? We're going to do a little movie time, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have your jammers?
Always.
Got my jammers.
I think you might need a teddy bear for this one. Things are about to get, shit is about to get real.
From the producer of Insidious and Paranormal Activity and the director of The Exorcism of Emily Rose, Sinister stars Ethan Hawke as Ellison Osborne, a true crime novelist hell-bent on uncovering the mysterious circumstances regarding a family's grisly murder.
You gotta be kidding me. Family hanging out, barbecue 79. The that's the family who lived here.
You think these are serial murders?
I don't know. First one I found dates back to the 60s. The only link between all these cases is the symbol.
The symbol is associated with a pagan deity named Bagul. He consumes the souls of human children.
I'm the only man here that was brave enough to watch this. I understand you guys had quote-unquote shit to do, when in reality you were just too scared to sit down and watch it with me.
Or we were being carried by a pterodactyl.
In David's case, the beach needed combing.
Yeah.
What did you comb the beach for?
It needed it.
He's gone Zen recently. Did you not know that?
I didn't. That's fascinating.
Well, the Zen thing to do is not say anything about it.
Maybe he'll see the sequel when it's called Zenister. That's right. Shut the fuck up.
That's one of the worst jokes I've ever heard in my
life. Or the best.
That wasn't crickets. It was just one big fucking cricket.
Yeah.
Sinister is a really interesting hybrid of the kind of found footage genre, which I think we're all tired of.
A little bit.
We're looking for new spins on that genre.
Yeah, they can't all be Chronicle.
And a straightforward kind of Shining meets Amityville horror style horror movie. The movie opens with Super 8 footage of a family standing under a tree. Their heads and feet are bound. They've got bags over their heads and nooses around their neck. And it's completely quiet. And you're just a voyeur watching this footage. And slowly, the family of four is lifted into the air because it's like a tree branch is being used for leverage. The tree branch breaks. They all go up very slowly, not a quick. It's like a reverse hanging, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool? Maybe that was the wrong word. Intriguing. But they're all lifted by their necks and strangled. They're kicking for life, et cetera, until they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the setup of this movie. Months later, Ellison Osborne, this novelist played by Ethan Hawke, he moves into the murdered family's home with his wife and kids and doesn't tell them about it because this is his thing. He's a true crime novelist. When he picks a subject to write about, he usually moves to that town to get close to the people, to investigate, to do interviews. In this case, he moves into the actual house where the people were murdered, which is really fucked up. And it's even more fucked up that he didn't tell his wife and children about it.
Well, Ethan Hawke's always been kind of an asshole.
That's
totally
point
totally
to agree. Ellison goes into the attic. He finds a box labeled Home Movies, and it's filled with, you know, there's a, yes?
Home Movies like the Adult Swim show?
Close, but no.
Oh.
It's filled with a dirty old projector and a bunch of canisters of Super 8 film footage. And they all have these mundane titles, you know, like Barbecue 79, Pool Party 86, Family Hanging Out, which happens to be the video that you watch at the very beginning with the family hanging.
No.
Come to find out, all of these reels depict a family being murdered in a different house. And so you can tell by the names that it's obviously going to get pretty playful. Barbecue, Pool Party.
Yeah.
There's one that's like Sleepy Time, which I thought was hilarious. But anyway, long story short, he watches the videos, he starts discovering a pattern, and this really sets him on this investigative path in figuring out who is doing these ritualistic murders. And then a supernatural twist comes in the fact that he sees an entity on the tape, and the entity is actually able to come out of the footage and enter the real world. And to me, it's this really interesting thematic quality of, like, film itself can kill you. Film itself can be evil. It has this power to it. And I think we've seen that a lot lately with, not so much lately as more of a trend over the past couple of decades. Films like The Ring, David Cronenberg's Videodrome, and the recent horror anthology VHS, they all deal with this idea that media can kill you directly.
Yeah.
And there's just something to that. Like, think about The Ring. Like, you watch this VHS tape and you die in 7 days. You know, like, is that nearly as scary today? Like, if someone says, hey, dude, if you watch this fucking YouTube video, you'll, like, totally die in, you know, 5 or 6 days. I don't know.
I think there's a horror movie like that.
That's about YouTube?
It's about watching a video online.
Oh, well, Fear.com, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that it?
Well, yeah, and it was terrible. That's why. Because all of our media now, none of it is tangible.
Yeah.
There's nothing scary about an audio file Mm-mm. or a flash drive or even a DVD. There's nothing frightening about a DVD.
No.
But there's something about a record player or an old typewriter or a VHS tape or a film projector that it has some sort of power to it.
Well, there's enough distance between us now where yeah. it's somewhat foreign. It's a foreign yeah. object to us.
Yeah.
And it also alludes to a time when there was this sort of like, you know, certain things in society weren't spoken about. And yeah. so they sort of represent this like fallacy of that time. So the little home movies show this happiness that's not entirely accurate. Mm-hmm. Typewriter, you know, created the novels that sort of, you know, pretended things weren't that bad. Stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah, it's just there's so much more effort required in obtaining the media with those old mm-hmm. Technologies. You know, in this case, when he's watching these films, if something goes wrong, he actually has to pull out the splicer. He has to cut the films, do edits himself, tape the films, and repair them. And that really goes deep into him, like, investigating this story. He has to put all this effort into it, into yeah. finding the answer. It's directed by Scott Derrickson, who did Exorcism of Emily Rose, which right. is a great modern horror movie.
Really underrated.
Yeah, extremely. And written by Derrickson and Robert Cargill, who is actually a writer for Ain't It Cool News. He's been covering movies for decades upon decades and has a real good handle on genre and I think horror in particular. And when you watch this movie, not only is it scary, but it really has an affection and a respect for not just film as, you know, cinema as an entity, but also the medium itself and how... you know, 16mm, 35mm, those things are kind of held up on pedestals compared to the digital technologies right. that we have now.
So you talked about how initially it sounds like he's trying to investigate who did this, and then it turns into this sort of supernatural thing.
Yeah.
Does it feel like balanced in that sense? And then also, you're always running the risk with the supernatural of having a sort of anticlimactic finish. Mm-hmm. As to like how how they defeat them.
Sure.
And I don't want to say because I'm not sure how it actually ends, but mm-hmm. was it a satisfying ending?
I will say the ending itself, all those pieces that Ethan Hawke's character is trying to put together, they finally come together in that last moment, and that itself is satisfying. But then, and I hate this trend, but it's almost inescapable. There's always that last second before the credits kind of
right.
cheesy jump scare.
Yeah.
That shows, hey, guess what? There might be another one.
Yeah, we can make another one if you like this.
Yeah. And it tries to establish the supernatural entity in this movie, which I believe his name is Mr. Oogie. Who's this creepy boogeyman guy?
That's not terrifying at all.
Yeah, no. Well, that's what children call him.
Stupid kid.
Dumbass kids. But they try to, I think towards the end of the movie, they try to sell you on the idea of like, do you like this guy? Is he creepy enough? Do you want to see him again? Because we could make him the main character of another movie. He's right. definitely not in this movie.
Right.
And I really like that because Ethan Hawke does a really good job in this movie as playing a desperate writer. You know,
right.
obsessed, definitely in the vein of The Shining.
Yeah,
you know,
a lot of it does sound very kind of similar to a lot of other established horror films, but it sounds like it sort of stands on its own as well, though.
It does, it does. So. It works in the fact that it pays homage to those instead of kind of watering them down. So I would definitely recommend it. Would you like to hear my rating?
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Cannot wait to hear this.
My rating is 3 what's in the box screams and 5 super creepy Super 8 snuff films.
A rating Brian De Palma would love.
Oh, yeah. Brian De Palma is quietly masturbating to this somewhere.
Quietly. Give me a break.
There's he's watching Sinister, and right beside it, split screen, is just like a reel of Nancy Allen's whole career, and he's just fucking...
Oh, wow.
Was Sinister as horrifying as that image that you just put in my head?
I would say
not even... There's no way.
It's
impossible.
All right. True. Well, yeah, that's all cool. we got for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about Martin McDonagh's Seven Psychopaths, which Tim actually saw this week. He's super excited about it.
Yeah. Loved it.
He's actually going to cook us dinner, and then he's going to strap us to chairs, Clockwork Orange style. I don't know if you're ready for that. And force us to watch it. So, well, I guess if we survive that, we'll talk about it next week.
Well, you seem to have a whole ward to yourself, my boy.
Yes, sir. And a very lonely place it is too, sir. When I wake up in the middle of the night with me pain.
Yes. Well, anyway, good to see you on the mend. I've kept in constant touch with the hospital, of course. And now I've come down to see you personally, to see how you're getting along.
I've suffered the tortures of the damned, sir. Tortures of the damned.
Before we move on, I guess we should take a time out to recognize the folks that keep the popcorn stocked and the mighty T'Challa at bay. Geeks of Doom has all the best geek-related scoops on comics, movies, television, and pop culture paraphernalia. So do us a favor, help us avoid certain death, and visit geeksofdoom.com. Now, back to the show. It's finally October, at least I think. The makeshift calendar seems to tell me that we're in October. And you know what that means, of course. Breast Cancer Awareness 5Ks. Good guess, but no. That's not what we're going to be talking about here. There will be no yoga pants and fucking visors, all right?
No, sir.
Unless Tim decides to power walk on the beach again. Pumpkin spice lattes, delicious, but no. That's not what we're going to be talking about.
Okay.
Of course, we're going to be talking about Halloween movies and horror movies. And to celebrate this most grand and festive of months, we've decided to do a top five list of our favorite horror films. And Jesus Christ, what was that?
Pterodactyl took a shit on top of the house again. They drop like rocks.
So yeah, we're going to, I guess, Tim, will we be utilizing the Mystic Spinner here?
Absolutely.
Before we go forward, are there any rules we need to know about?
Yes. According to the sacred rules of the Mystic Spinner.
Right.
In situations where we give top fives, no movie can be repeated. So okay. Whoever goes first gets to say their absolute top five. And then if that infringes upon my likes or dislikes, then I have to fucking put up or shut up and come up with some replacements. So that's all we have to keep in mind.
Sweet. This is going to work out in my favor then, because I always get picked first.
That's right. Yeah, the Mystic Spinner hates you.
This is the first time in a while that I'll be okay with this.
Well, let's go ahead and spin it.
All right. Give it a whirl.
Oh, the Mystic Spinner has chosen me.
You've got to be shitty.
Fuck. I have been chosen. Huh, I don't know. The world may be about to end.
No, just reaffirms that it hates me.
Anyway, Tim, I have been chosen.
I'm going to go first. I'm
going to give first, you my Tim. Whatever.
Top five horror movies. Now, before I give you my top five, I need to confess something to you.
Sure.
You guys aren't going to like this. I know, because you're anal retentive about this shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Spit it out.
So, some of the best quote-unquote horror films I'm not going to be listing here.
Huh.
And what would your possible reasoning for that be?
Because they are my favorite, some of them are my favorite films of all time.
Okay.
And therefore, I don't consider them of any genre.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm spellbound.
All right, what I'm saying is
that's a good horror movie.
Whenever a great film connects with me, all genre classification falls away, and I lose the ability to recall it based on genre.
Interesting.
So I just think of them as great movies. I have no understanding of what genre they're in, because
this sounds like a mental disability.
Yeah, it sounds very odd.
I'm not gonna put it that like that, but if you must, go for it. I don't give a shit.
But some sort of cataloging amnesia or something.
Tim does not like making lists.
I don't really like
when we send
lists.
Him to go get fucking groceries in the forest every time.
Every time.
He always forgets sour cream.
Yeah, he just gets coconuts. Coconuts, coconuts.
Coconuts and bananas.
Yeah.
We were doing a fucking film review. Tim, right. Bring us some fucking food.
Yeah.
I can't, look at me. I can't eat.
Yeah, kill a boar every once in a while.
Right. Anyway, so let's go ahead and just give us your top five.
All right,
and we'll
give it to you.
Let's see what this is.
We'll note what's absent and then judge you.
Okay, sure. So just to clarify once again, these movies are what I recall when someone says your top five horror movies.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
So at number five, Tremors.
All right.
I like it.
I like that a lot.
All right. I just love the creature effects. I love the trapped on a, you know, an Kevin abandoned.
Kevin Bacon.
So good. Number four, The Mist.
Oh, okay. Really?
I'm impressed.
I think it's risen in the ranks. I didn't like this movie at first.
Yeah, I recall.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Totally underrated and has a ballsy ass ending.
Yeah.
And incredible acting.
Yeah, really does.
Really good.
And great creatures. Great monsters.
Go ahead. Number three, one of the most intense movies I watched as a child, pre-marooned on this godforsaken island. Duel.
Ooh.
Made-for-TV Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feature film debut.
That's right. Shot in 4:3. I love this movie. There's almost no talking in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a fucking tractor trailer chasing down a dude.
Yeah.
Intense. Jaws on land, essentially.
Jaws on land, yeah, sure.
Highway Jaws.
Number two, Chainsaw Massacre, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Tobe Hooper, 1974. I can't argue that.
Nope.
Terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Number one, and this movie is debatable, but at the end of this film, I have never had a feeling of such terror as in this movie.
Oh, my.
Don't Look Now.
Oh, my.
Good choice.
I can't really even talk about it much more than just saying the name of the film.
Because, Nicholas Roeg, right?
Yeah.
Like 1974, maybe, somewhere in there?
I think so.
Donald Sutherland.
Yep.
Just a fucking creepy movie.
Super creepy.
Oh, my God.
Nicholas Roeg was so good at establishing whatever mood he was trying to go for in his movies.
Yeah.
And he just went to it.
And the mood he created was creep you the fuck out.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
so creepy. And gross. It's so confusing.
Yeah.
And somehow what the ending ends up being something that, you know, I don't want to give away anything. I won't. But it should be obvious.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
And somehow it's not at all. It takes you completely off guard. And it is a horrific ending. Just jump out of your seat. Wish you were somewhere else.
Wish you were somewhere else.
I did in the moment that it happened.
It's the B-side for Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Immediately after I watched it, I knew it was going to be one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
I'm pretty relieved because while I like those movies,
mm-hmm.
I don't think any of them were on my list. So I'm in the clear right now.
Yeah. But
David, the Mystic Spinner has selected you.
Okay.
So... go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm actually pretty relieved, too, because the stuff that I thought he would go to first is not on mine. I do think there's a better list of best horror films out there, but this is my favorite, my personal. Number five, I couldn't really pick a Guillermo del Toro pre-Hellboy film.
Okay.
So, because I really love Devil's Backbone and Kronos so much. But I think the one that really kind of turned me on to him was Pan's Labyrinth. So I'm going to put Pan's Labyrinth at number five.
Okay.
I think it's a great horror, like, creature feature film.
Horrific fairy tale.
Yeah, yeah.
Good monsters.
Like it.
All right, so then number four, I've got Qui-Gon.
Not Qui-Gon, as in Qui-Gon Jinn from The Phantom of the Menace, which is, of course, very horrific.
Right, right. No, this is a Japanese horror anthology. It's and it's spelled, if you want to look it up, it's under the Criterion Collection. It's Kwaidan.
Yes.
And from the 60s, I think like 65, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like right when Japanese cinema was moving into like Technicolor, so there's bursts of color, and it's this just terrifying sort of stories all taking place in the Japanese like feudalistic period.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really great stuff. Supernatural, the only way the Japanese can do it.
Cool.
Number three, I actually have Psycho.
Okay.
By Hitchcock.
Sure.
The classic.
1960.
This movie still scares the shit out of me.
Very much the kind of great-grandfather of what would become the slasher genre.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, just such a bold film, getting rid of the main character within the first 30 minutes.
Yeah. The MacGuffin of the money.
The MacGuffin of the money, absolutely. Yeah. One of the best scores in a genre that produces some of the best scores in cinema history.
That's true.
And then number two, I have, my number two and one go back and forth, you know, every year or so. But
sure.
My number two is The Shining.
Ooh. Stanley Kubrick.
So wonderful, terrifying.
Wonderful.
Jack Nicholson.
It's such a terrifying movie. I don't even need to say anything.
Which, it's interesting because not just 2 weeks ago, The Shining was part of our epic battle with T'Challa, where we had to play movie Taboo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
Oh, goodness. I hope that's not a bad
foreboding.
Yeah.
This is all your fault.
What does that mean?
What's your number one movie so we can go ahead and just fucking...
deal with whatever curse I just put upon us?
Jesus.
My favorite horror film is Alien.
Very nice.
Yes.
Alien scares the shit out of me still. I challenge anybody to this day. This is what I think is so impressive about this movie. Not only is it a science fiction film, which means that so much of it is going to be like not, you know, accessible in the same way that a typical movie would be.
Sure.
Because it's, you know, something, it's things that don't exist
intangible,
yet.
Intangible, yeah.
Anybody who still watches this to this day, even though it's 30 plus years old now,
mm-hmm.
still totally stands. It's still as good as it's ever been.
My favorite movie of all time.
And it's a perfectly reasonable choice.
It's gorgeous.
It's so beautiful. It's
the creature design is...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, iconic.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
It's an amazing film.
Yeah.
So I think you may have made up for the potential curse you put on all of us by mentioning aliens. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Unfortunately, Alien, obviously my all-time favorite movie, was going to be number one on my list. So shit, things are going to get crazy now. I'm going to have to do some adjusting.
All right. I apologize for taking that, but it's
no, it's completely understandable.
Nothing else can be number
one. Of course, to Tim, not a horror movie.
No. Yeah, no.
Is it a sci-fi movie?
No, it just doesn't have a
genre. David, it takes place in outer space. Why the fuck would it be a science fiction movie?
It's just a good damn movie.
Yeah. A penis-shaped alien erupts from a man's chest. That's not a horror movie.
You know, that happens twice.
And it's going to happen later with, you know, a little De Palma Nancy Allen action.
Oh, my God.
Got you guys.
Why?
Yeah. Okay. Well, my number five, let's kick it off. Yep. David Cronenberg's 1986 remake, The Fly.
Oh, so good.
Jeff Goldblum gives one of the most tragic, heartbreaking performances in a movie. I mean, it's right up there when you talk about actors in makeup, inhabiting a role. It's right up there with Lon Chaney's Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible, the stuff
Jabba
he does.
Jabba the
Hutt. Obviously, Jabba the Hutt. Pizza the Hutt. A lot of people don't. Oh, man. A lot of people forget about Pizza the Hutt.
So good.
Not a comedy, nor is it a science fiction movie, according to Tim.
Spaceballs referenced a lot of the movies we've mentioned so
Absolutely.
Far.
Absolutely. Amazing performances, incredible special effects, and it manages to be truly horrific while being extremely tragic and really a romance.
It's a very touching movie.
Absolutely. So, number five. Number four would be John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh, so good.
Initially panned when it came out in 1982 because it came out a couple weeks after E.T.
Yeah.
The feel-good movie of forever
mm-hmm.
versus The Thing. It didn't do too well at the box office, but now is regarded as a horror science fiction classic.
Yeah.
Or one of Tim's favorite movies.
Or one of Tim's favorite non-genre movies.
This is going to drive me insane.
But amazing special effects by Rob Bottin.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell is absolutely badass. It's claustrophobic and cold and just fills you with a sense of paranoia.
One of the creepiest dogs ever.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that dog.
That dog is so great.
Fuck that husky.
Just the paws that he has before he walks through that door.
Oh, yeah. Man. Good dog actor.
Oh, man.
Gold.
Number three,
mm-hmm.
Rosemary's Baby.
Classic.
Roman Polanski. Obviously, Mia Farrow,
mm-hmm.
Still holds up incredibly well because it isn't, like we've been talking about, it isn't really special effects driven or science fiction or whatever. It takes place in the here and now. And
very psychological.
So my top two movies here, I'm very surprised no one has mentioned them. Number two, Halloween. I'm going John Carpenter again. Halloween, a classic horror film, and perhaps the greatest Halloween movie. That's a very limited genre.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about Psycho being the great grandfather of the slasher, and then Texas Chainsaw starts to incorporate elements of the final girl,
right?
Halloween really brings that home and really stands out as the first and the most pure, I think the best slasher movie.
I think I'd agree with that.
I would agree as well.
Michael Myers, his presence is intimidating, horrifying. He's so slow and methodical mm-hmm. in what he does. And Jamie Lee Curtis is great. Jamie Lee Curtis and Sigourney Weaver, which we're talking about with Alien, they are the definitive female heroines yeah. of the horror genre. But Halloween is just a fantastic movie. And really, again, the template for everything that was to come. Without Halloween, we never would have saw Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street or any of those movies.
Yeah.
And when you are such an iconic movie that you create your own subgenre, then that's it.
What could possibly be your number one?
My number one film, not a horror movie, according to Tim. And I would agree that it is one of the finest movies, and perhaps, in a way, it defies a label, but The Exorcist, William Friedkin's film, absolutely terrifying.
It's so scary.
Still to this day. And I'm not a Christian. I'm not a believer in demons or angels or hell or heaven or God, but that movie is terrifying.
Yeah.
And really, the amazing thing about it is that it's really a movie about redemption mm-hmm. and vanquishing evil.
Yeah.
Instead of succumbing to it.
It is particularly pro-religious.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you look at it.
And in a way, progressive in the way that it's pro-science.
Mm-hmm.
It tries to walk that line of both realms, and I think it does a pretty good job. And the characters are very interesting. You have Max von Sydow, which, holy fucking shit, up until, I would say, 10 years ago, I thought he was really that old. Amazing makeup by Dick
yeah.
Smith.
Yeah.
Some of the best aging, probably the best aging makeup
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
And yeah, just the score, everything about this movie is terrifying. And it was nominated for Academy Awards. You know, I think for people who do classify films, horror, that was kind of its upcomings.
Like, yeah.
Hey, Take a note of this.
Even today, typically, horror is not regarded in that way.
No. Well, genre in general. Well, there you have it. We've given you 15 fantastic horror films, or perhaps drama movies with spooky situations.
You guys, how you mock me.
You mock yourself.
But
listen, I'm just saying that these movies are great. They defy genre. They are important to me.
You're right, Tim. That shirt you're wearing is a fantastic-looking shirt, but I think it's more like pants.
All right, move on. I get your point. I got it ages ago.
But yeah, 15 great horror movies to watch as we celebrate the rest of October here.
Right.
But that's going to be it for us this week, guys.
It is.
I'm tuckered out. I don't know about you.
As am I.
As always, you can call the Skullface Island hotline at 980-272-0111 or email us at skullfaceisland@gmail.com. And, of course, you can tweet us at Skullface Island and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Skullface Island. Guys, what are we doing now? My slate is looking pretty clear.
I'm actually organizing a breast cancer awareness 5K with the natives. If you want to come, you know. I've worked pretty hard on it. Let me tell you, pink dye is a bitch. Getting these loincloths to look pink.
Should you refer to something as a bitch in relation to Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
The good that we're doing here, David, I can do whatever I want.